Oh, Carole King there, you make me feel like a natural woman. Eleri Sean with you here on BBC Radio Wales. And during the first hour of the show, you were talking about commuting. Do you remember the gentleman who commutes from Porthcawl to Watford every day of the week? My gosh. Well, Jeff has got in touch. Hello, Eleri. Happy New Year to you. 6-hour commute. Oh, forget that. I find it stressful to drive the 10 minutes it takes to get to the Quinns Club on a Saturday in Carmarthen. Well, luckily, Jackie drives me there for 1 o'clock and then picks me up about 10 o'clock after she's collected our Chinese takeaway. Oh, Jeff, you put a smile on my face. P.S. I'm arranging a Beatles tribute band in the evening of Saturday the 15th at the Quinns Club in Carmarthen. So Saturday 15th of February, Beatles tribute band, all welcome. So can you please play any Beatles track for me in your request hour at 3? Of course we will, Jeff in Carmarthen. Thanks, Jeff. Right then. Just before Christmas, the relationship specialist Nadia Rose was here to give us some tips on surviving the festive season. That said, last Monday was still dubbed Divorce Monday by legal experts as the most popular day for thousands of wearing couples to file for divorce. So where do you go from here if the problems in your relationship were highlighted by the stresses and strains of Christmas? Well, Nadia is back now with some more timely advice. How are you?
Dwi'n iawn, diolch.
Yes.
Fy'n iawn da i ti a diolch am wahoddi fi nôl eto.
Thank you
for inviting me back.
Well, I think we need you. Saying that, Dave from Pen Pedair Hewl has been in touch. And he says, why are we talking about separation? Society has got its priorities wrong. We should be talking about the benefits of marriage. We are. But we are saying
indeed, yes.
That this is the last resort, isn't it? This is when people may, but we will help people who are maybe on the cusp, who don't want to separate, but they can't find a way. So,
They will hear tools today to help them to do that. But I recognise why we're having this programme. It's because the backdrop of January, it's true,
exactly.
At this period of time, twice as many people leave relationships than any other time of the year.
Yeah.
So that's the relevance of bringing that to the surface, I think.
So if you have survived Christmas, got through it, surely it's worth working at, yes?
Absolutely. But I was listening in and last week, you know, you were talking about relationships with the panel and the polling that Relate did. If you read further into that, and they're so thorough with these things, and I love the surveys that they do, 63% of people said that they wish they'd tried harder in a past relationship.
Yes.
So that is really telling us something, isn't it? And there are people, you know, people who come to see me at this time of year who really want their relationships to work. What they're dealing with is a concentrated experience of all their difficulties coming to the surface. And that is not a bad thing. So I'm with the gentleman who says, let's talk about, you know, supporting marriage. If we want to support marriage, what we need to recognise is that when these difficulties come to the surface, because let's be honest, Eleri, these have probably been swimming around for some months and in some cases for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the chance to address them. And you can use the new year in a constructive way. Instead of hiding from them, do something about them.
Okay, so we've brushed our problems under the carpet just to have a good Christmas. We are now in January. We've got the January blues. We're looking at things probably from a negative angle, okay, or aspect. How can we be sure then that the problems we have are not just simple road bumps in a relationship and that they are more serious, but possibly changeable?
Well, I'm a great believer in change. I'm glad that you used that word. And people who go to my website will see that I offer a course on how to end a relationship amicably and also how to create a secure foundation for a loving and not only loving but a lasting and working couple relationship. I think we need to let ourselves off the hook a bit here, Eleri.
So you're talking now, you've given up then? Because I thought we were going to talk. Why can't we just, you know, if you're at that point thinking, I don't know what's wrong, this is our last chance saloon, we've got to make it work.
Yes.
What are the tools that you would give somebody, okay, that's so close in maybe separating, but this is their last chance? You know, okay. What kind of tips can you give people?
All right, I have some good tips for that. And thank you for clarifying. I think what you need to realise is that this is a time of transition, January. It's a difficult time. It's going back to work. It's getting children back into school. There may be financial things that need to be balanced. It's a difficult time. It's cold. It's dark. So everything that is difficult will seem worse. Mm. And that's part of the reason why I think people think, oh, gosh, this is really, really, really serious. But as I said to you earlier, this is an opportunity to address those issues. And if you've got a pen and paper, please write these things down if you are in the situation that you described. Because if your relationship has come to an end, if you try to work on it, you will know for sure whether it's come to an end because you've tried everything.
Yes.
And that gives you a peace of mind and it helps you to move forward in a constructive way. But the first tool that I would give is people need to learn how to argue fairly. And that's another way of saying communicate effectively. Mm. So many people don't know yet how to communicate effectively in an adult couple relationship. And if you haven't learned it, you can. So this is something that you will need in your toolkit.
Even so if don't be personal then, yes? Talk about the relationship as the main character rather than the person you're speaking to.
Very good point. That's a really good way of doing it. That would fit into arguing fairly. Yes. Because what it would be doing is you wouldn't be arguing on anger or adrenaline. You would move away from the anger. Anger's not a bad emotion, but nothing gets resolved in anger. And then you would come back to your partner after you'd calmed down, done something pleasant, like listen to music that you like, and you would say to them, something's on my mind, can we have a discussion about it at a suitable time? What time would suit you? And the useful thing about that is you're giving them the control as to when they choose the time. And this is the first tool that I'm offering here today. It's arguing fairly. That gives you a chance to, in the true sense, argument means to state your case, you know, not just to have a row or a screaming, blazing scenario. It's to argue your case.
So it's important then for you to pre-plan what you're going to say, because otherwise you're just going to just bounce back and forth from each other and then you won't get your point over.
Definitely, Ellery, because it would just be an adrenaline scenario, just be about winning rather than a constructive discussion about what's bothering me. And then the person who's listening can ask open questions. Well, how can I help you? What would you like me to do differently? How come you didn't tell me about this before? And then the couple can come to an arrangement of how they would like to do it, a compromise. I'll give you an example. I hear a lot of people say, I wish you wouldn't discuss that in front of, let's say it's finances, in front of my parents. So if you don't want the person to discuss finances in front of your parents, you let them know ahead of time, let's not discuss A, B, C in front of our parents. And so the person knows and you can come to a collaboration. And so arguing fairly can really help the relationship. If you keep doing this, it minimises the big stuff. So it makes it manageable.
So it's important then to actually identify the things that your partner does that upsets you.
Very much so.
Yes, so you've got to write these things down.
You can write them down or you can say them. I would suggest that you do one thing at once. And my second tip is that you do not tackle the big problem in your relationship first. Let's give an example and say you have a difficulty with an acrimonious ex and it causes problems in your relationships and all you do is argue about it. You don't tackle that first. You open the lines of communication by dealing with something that is manageable, that you can improve. For example, you might say, let's share the responsibilities of doing dinner in the evenings. We're both good at cooking. We can both do it. Let's see how we get on with that for a while and watch that work. Watch the lines of communication open. And then once you've had a bit of success and you've mastered that, you can go into something that's more difficult. Because if you start with the big thing first, Ellery, you will try to deal with it and you will get frustrated and you will think there's no point. And this is when people say, we can't sort it out. It's no use. We're going round in circles. It's over.
Is it a good idea creating a timetable then? So you give yourself targets, is it? And once you've set your targets, you've done the first one, move on.
That sounds like a great idea. That sounds really good because you are picturising your success. You can see you've set a goal, you can tick that box. Yeah. That's a really good idea.
Cool. Okay, then. So hopefully we've helped in making somebody think, right, I'm going to work at this. But maybe some people have ticked all those boxes and we are looking at good separation. And we will do that with Nadia Rose after this one by Feeder, Comfort in Sound.